What is up, everyone? Welcome to It's Called Soccer. Today, we have a very special guest, the Leeds Lobby. It's a father-son duo that is tracking Leeds. They're from Leeds. They're huge Leeds fans. The dad goes all the way back to the 70s, and we have a new fan in the son as well over the last few years. So really excited to talk to Lee and Dan about this team, about Jesse Marsh, about Tyler Adams and Brendan Aronson. But just around the environment of the club, what it means to the community. I hope you guys enjoy this because it came from a comment on my channel as well. So guys, I do read every single comment. I try to respond to everyone. If there are people that you want me to collaborate with on YouTube and talk to them and interview them, make sure to drop it down below. But otherwise, thanks so much for watching and enjoy this interview with the Leeds Lobby. See ya. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including NBA Summer League, Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even the next season's early NFL futures, and of course, the best sport in the world, soccer. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to get your bonus and get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts. What is up, everyone? Today on the channel, we are just honored to be joined by the Leeds Lobby. Lee and Dan, a generational Leeds channel today. So guys, just before we get into the club, the Americans that have joined recently, Jesse Marsh's end to the season last season, just tell our audience about what your channel's about. Who are you guys?
We started the channel on Father's Day this year, so only about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I lost my dad back in 2021. And my dad was a big Leeds fan. I had trials for Leeds back in the day. And he sort of hails from the Peter Lorimer and Billy Bremner sort of era. We've all got a bit of an era with our football clubs where we think about the players that were important to us and the players that we remember in our golden era. For me, it's probably Strachan and Batty. But I can remember Dan wasn't really that bothered about football, but sat and watched the first two or three games after that point where I sat knowing that I wasn't going to be able to talk about it to my dad. And I think Dan really, really caught on and got really, really interested in football just this last 12 months. But you've really taken to the history of the club. It helps that we've had a couple of documentaries out that have been really, really well received. Yeah, Leeds is a fantastic club.
Yeah, it's just something I enjoy on a daily basis.
So, this particular part of the season for us is you probably call it a draft in the States, but from our point of view, it's our transfer window. And it's a really, really good time to be a Leeds fan. We're playing a good brand of football at the minute.
This is the best window I've had since the O'Leary era, as someone said.
I definitely think so. So we want to chat about Leeds. We want to chat about it from a generational point of view, in the sense that I probably remember more about Leeds going back in the past and can make analogies as to what it's like compared to what it used to be. Dan's reasonably new about it, but he's got, it's like a sponge in terms of the information he's soaking up. He knows about players I've never even heard of. So we like to put information out there and talk about Leeds because it's all we talk about at the dinner table.
Yeah, that's really how this channel started as well. Just really trying to find ways to interact with more fans, just bring more people into the game. And obviously in the US, the game is growing at an exponential rate, but there's a lot of people that are kind of where you are, Lee, have been following the sport for years and years and years. And then other people that have just gotten into it in the last few. So it's great to have you both on. And maybe we can just start there with kind of the history and what Leeds means to you guys, because the audience that's watching this might have taken, note of Marcelo Bielsa or now Jesse Marsh, the coach. So really only the last few years. So for those types of fans that are looking to learn more about Leeds and the history, just give us a sense about what Leeds United means and what the club is to the community.
I mean, Leeds were, going back to probably the time when I was born, around about late 70s, Leeds were, a massive, massive club. We're still a massive, massive club, but Leeds were dominant in what was then the old First Division. And it was after that period, Leeds got relegated. We were down for about 8 years. And the last two or three seasons before we were due to come back up into the old First Division is when really I came into football, probably around about the age of 10, 11 years old. We'd got a new manager called Hal Wilkinson, who seemed to want to buy all the Sheffield Wednesday players at the time. And we were just making this transition into a club that was, you know, raising their eyes and looking to see where we could be. It was back in the day where a team could come up and then challenge to win the first division. So much of a difference now between teams like Man City and Liverpool that seem to have really, really deep pockets. There's oil money involved with football nowadays where some of these teams can spend masses of money to buy whoever they want and upgrade their grounds. But back in that day, we were literally two seasons up and we were winning the old first division. And that was a good, it was a good time for Leeds. And we were there or thereabouts, top four, top five, top six. And then, of course, we had a guy called Peter Risdale took over as chairman. There's a lot being written, a lot being said about Peter Risdale in terms of his money management.
He's now on the Championship Board of Financial Fair Play Directors. So
there are anecdotal sort of stories about offering players more money than they even wanted when in negotiations. and as a result, we gambled heavily on going to the Champions League final, winning the Champions League, and we went out in the semis. And as a result, we rapidly had a race to the bottom, and we were close to bankruptcy. And in one, we actually got declared bankrupt. And we got docked the points for financial fair play that caused us to go down two divisions. And it's been 16 years coming back. But in that time, we've been selling out the stadium. We're a massive, massive club. Our city has one football club that is a professional football club, and that's Leeds United. The city of Leeds loves Leeds United. There are many people who don't even come from Leeds and in some cases have not grown up in Leeds who support Leeds United on account of the fact that we've got this illustrious past with such a big club, and it's great to see us back where we need to be, back where we should be. And then obviously there's new fans like Dan coming along and again getting a passion for the club and seeing what's going on, and obviously it means something a bit different to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, well it's just something to sort of break the loop, innit, because it just gives you something to watch every now and then. Watch on Saturday. Quite disappointed today because Man U beat Liverpool 4-0, so that's a bit disappointing. But it's so different when the season breaks, and it just feels different now when you've got no football for ages, because it fills that void really.
And I think the interesting thing about football as well is, like for example, Leeds United and Chelsea. There's an FA Cup match that took place. Probably, you know, honestly, when I was in the eye to a grasshopper, where they absolutely kick lumps out of each other to the point where there's still, all these years later, enmity between Leeds and Chelsea. The stuff that took place probably around the time I was born between Leeds and Derby County that causes these clubs to have enmity with each other.
It always kicks off at the Leeds-Chelsea match, though, even this season. What a fight with Rudiger, though, as always.
And the players on the pitch begin to get a feeling from that, from the fans. Because, I mean, you've been to a sports stadium, you've been to see a football match, they're electric. They're absolutely electric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, best fans.
Yeah, you would say Elland Road is a patronage that a lot of people need to get to see and to feel.
Yeah.
I think if you ask somebody who is in the middle, who's not partisan in any way, neutral, which crowd, you'd find Elland Road is pretty special, isn't it?
Yeah, it's up there. It's definitely up there.
Yeah. So you mentioned kind of the fighting spirit of Leeds, and the last few coaches seem to have really embodied that, with a legend like Marcelo Bielsa leaving at the end of last, well, towards the end of last season, and Jesse Marsh now coming in. What was the experience for Leeds at the end of the season last year, just fighting for safety in the Premier League?
I think that it was, if we had have gone down, it would have been absolutely heartbreaking, because the club went down for 17 years out of the Premier League. And then finally, the guy who was meant to bring us back up brought us back up. And then if he got sacked and we went back down like two seasons later, it would have been absolutely horrible, because the last time that I, even on the last day of the season, it was perfect because I got a recommendation in my YouTube, like fan cams of the last time Leeds went down. Yeah. And it was heartbreaking, because obviously we've only just managed to, you can't play your way out of the championship. You have to claw your way out. And that's something Don Revie said, like our most successful manager. But if we had have gone down, it would have been absolutely horrible. But luckily we didn't. And we're looking at Wolves' first game of the season.
But I think coming to Leeds made a big impact, because he just changed the ethos and the fitness at the club. He had a relatively small squad. I mean, I think some of the strengths in that first season in the Premiership became weaknesses because we had a different style of play. And I think the unfortunate thing from Bielsa, he was so committed to that style of play. And it was this pressing play. So from Leeds United's point of view, there was a double crossover on the wings.
Yeah.
So the winger would cross over, the fullback would cross over with the winger and then cross over again.
Yeah.
And this always creates space.
See, just to get an idea of how much running these players were doing, how fit they were, our manager Bielsa had cottages built around the training ground so that players could essentially live there for weeks.
Yeah, I think he had a training practice called Murder Ball as well, like no fouls, no rules. So now what's the feeling now with Jesse Marsh then? Because he is seen as another kind of physical manager, a lot of running involved, but maybe a little bit different style.
I think Jesse's, people have made comments about the fact that Jesse's walked into other clubs and basically let the players know they're all going to be improving their fitness. I don't think he's had to do that with Leeds United. I think that Bielsa's defensive style was very much about man-to-man marking over the whole pitch. And some of the smart managers in the league figured out very, very quickly into the second season that it enabled to be able to draw fullbacks and draw centre-halves out of position very, very easily in order to create space. And that's one of the reasons we got broke down. And I don't think Bielsa showed an ability to adapt. I think that was his main weakness. One thing that excites me with regards to Jesse Marsh is he seems to be, to me, a very good man manager in the sense that he seems to be very, very amenable. He suddenly will put an arm around a player. He's the type of manager you probably want in your corner when you're having a bad game. But somebody that's able to encourage and somebody who's able to get the best out of the player. That's what excites me because we have some good players. We have some really, really good players.
Yeah. I think one of the problems with Bielsa is that if you watch the games, whenever a player came off because he was having a bad game or a player came off injured, he didn't bat an eye. He couldn't speak a word of English. He never learned English for some reason.
He had a translator with him the whole time.
So who do you go into to get the players riled up at half time when we're 2-0 down? Whereas Bielsa can't communicate with them. He could probably communicate with a couple of the bilingual players like Patrick Bamford, but who do you get in? And as soon as Bielsa was sacked, I looked up Jesse Marsh on YouTube because that was like the front runner, and there was a video of him giving an inspirational talk to the players at Salzburg. He went from German to English. He spoke in pretty much every language. But it was when they were 2-0 down against Liverpool, I believe, and they ended up losing, but they lost 4-3. So they did give it a fight, and I think it just brings that control over the dressing room where he can sort of take the dressing room by the reins and sort of encourage all the players.
And I think one thing that's also very, very important, and one thing that's very indicative of how well regarded he is in his dressing room is the fact that there are lots and lots of players that are wanting to come to Leeds United and play under Jesse Marsh. And there are players that have played with him, that have linked up with him in the past.
Yeah, Steven Gerrard-esque. Like how Gerrard bought Coutinho into Villa because obviously they had the links there. I think Marsh is doing the same thing.
They want to play for him. And that's also given us a different group of players that we can select from. People are very concerned about the fact that Leeds have brought so many players in, and they're also concerned about the fact that Leeds have brought Red Bull players in, and even some people seem to be concerned that we brought all Americans in. I don't know why, but for me, if we've got players that have played and you've got a spine of new players that are coming in that have all played together and understand the system and understand the manager, that's got to be a good thing because they're more likely, in my opinion, to hit the ground running. And that's what I think we're going to see from Leeds United. I think we're going to be pushing on towards European qualification.
I think it helps that most of the... I mean, we've brought in three players who have played under him before. And I think it's so obvious that like we brought in three players and they all, without a doubt, would be managed to throw up by him again, which shows how much of a relationship he has with the players that he manages.
So let's talk a little bit then about that transfer window that's still ongoing, but you guys have brought in a lot of players. You've lost some important players as well in Calvin Phillips and Rafinha. It looks to be out on the outgoing side. So Tyler Adams and Brendan Aaronson, obviously players that are American and played under Jesse Marsh before, but also Roca and Sinisterra look to be great players as well. So what's the feeling around the fan base going into this next season, having such an immense amount of incoming transfers?
I think it's really optimistic. I think there's a proper sense of fans expecting a big season ahead. But then again, last season we'd come off the back of finishing ninth, and everyone was talking about Europe. So I think everyone's like sort of keeping it quietly optimistic in case we have another season like last. But I think we could do well.
I think one of the main problems is that we seem to evaluate players via YouTube clips. So it's quite funny actually, because early on in the transfer window, it was looking like Rafinha was going to go to Arsenal, and all these Arsenal fans were all doing Rafinha best bits videos, only to find that Rafinha's actually go to Arsenal. Made them look a bit silly, really.
But they all admitted that Rafinha was better than Saka and all of the whole.
We've all seen players that look amazingly good on YouTube, and I dare say on your best day on a football pitch, if you were just to pick your best bits, you'd look a much better player than if you got all your bits in that regard. But I think one thing that gets me is that with the American players that are coming in, I think Tyler Adams and both Tyler Adams and Aronson are both system players. They're both players that will play well within a particular system, and that system is a system that Jesse Marsh wants to play. I saw Rocco, who's obviously the player that Tyler Adams is going to be playing alongside. Mm-hmm. And one thing that got me is tenacity in winning the ball back. And I've heard that also about Tyler Adams. So that makes me excited, because particularly in England, when we've got players that give their all and that run and run and run and run and run, those mm-hmm. players tend to do very well. They're very popular players because they look like they give everything for the club. And that's what you want. That's you want to see your team trying, even if they lose.
Yeah, I've been watching Tyler Adams since he was 16 years old in the New York Red Bull Academy.
How good is he?
I can tell you right now that he will be loved by the fans because of his tenacity, because of his passion for play. In the last game that we played against El Salvador, he dragged someone by the shoulders and threw him down. No emotion on his face, anything. He's just a warrior on the pitch. It's really awesome to see.
We're touting him out to be captain. We think that he could be the captain because Marsh has made him captain a few times.
Yeah, and actually, as an 18-year-old, Jesse Marsh did an interview with The Athletic talking about how they were considering giving him the armband at 18 years old. Yeah.
But I think there's something. It's a bit strange because Julian Nagelsmann, arguably the best young manager in the world, is like probably one of the next like upcoming like Jose Mourinho's or something, because he's a brilliant manager. Yeah. And he's not even I don't think he's even 45 yet. But he saw fit to start Tyler Adams in a Champions League semi-final. But most Leeds fans aren't even convinced that Tyler Adams is good enough to start against Newcastle or Southampton.
I don't say that.
Yeah. If you've seen the Leeds fans on the social media who are talking about him, quite not very happy. I think they wanted the Mo Camara. But we ended up with Adams, and I think he's a good player. But there's quite a few people who aren't convinced by him.
I think one of the problems is with having Calvin Phillips in that holding midfield role, and just having one player in that holding midfield role. I think one of the issues has been that when Calvin Phillips hasn't been in the side, Leeds have performed badly in terms of the results. I think what's different with this particular system is I think Tyler Adams is going to be sitting alongside Mark Roker. There's going to be two people fulfilling that role, and it seems to me that's going to allow Christensen on one side and whoever sits in that left-hand berth to push up the field as wing-backs rather than left-backs. Mm. What that basically does is that allows your two centre-halves to move out if necessary. So let's say, for example, Firpo on one side is bombing up the left wing. As a left wing-back, what it's going to allow is it's going to allow the corresponding centre-half to move over to cover. And then you've got Tyler Adams dropping back and producing almost a back three, allowing those wingers to go further forward. So Tyler Adams is never really going to be an attacking player. It's not what he's meant to do. It's Matt Roker that's supposed to be the playmaker. And for me, looking a player, Mo Camara, who plays as a sole central defensive midfielder, you're sort of comparing apples and pears, really, because I think Tyler Adams plays a different role. And I don't think there's many players that in that age, because I also think youth is really important with this, because they get older, they get better. I don't think there's many players on the world stage that are at that age there might be one or two who I'd rather have in that position playing under this manager, because I think the manager will get a lot out of him as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, for being 23 years old, he already has 6 or 7 years of professional football under his belt. And he has played in that position before, where he's been the one to drop in between the center halves for the US and really hold possession with the three in the back while the wingbacks push forward. So I think you guys have an amazing player, and all of the American fans that are looking at it from the perspective of we're going into a World Cup year, hoping to have him get a lot of playing time. If he does play in that double pivot with Roca, who is a bit better of a passer, it's going to be really good, I think, for both sides, the Leeds fans and the US men's national team fans.
I think US have now their biggest opportunity that they're ever really going to get to manage to push on and go far in a World Cup, because you've obviously got a lot of good players at the minute. You've got Pulisic, you've got Gio Reyna, you've got Weston McKennie, you've got quite a few really good players. And I think now is really, for the United States men's national team, it's really the best opportunity that you're going to get.
I think you're going to give us a bit of a scare in that group. I really do. And the thing is, we will be going into World Cup supporting Leeds. So I said this here on the text. I know from our point of view, club is everything in regards to where we're at as Leeds fans at the minute. So we'll be looking to see, you know, our new American signings. We'll be looking to see them playing well. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I didn't believe you when you said you were going to wear your US kit during the World Cup, but I'll have to send you guys some.
Yeah, we're going to need to get them.
We might not with the play England, but I think it's going to...
Maybe versus Iran and Wales.
I said to my dad, how would you feel if the World Cup final and Tyler Adams slips it through for Brendan Aaronson to knock England out in the final? How would you feel?
I'm not entirely sure.
All right, we'll see how those emotions conflate with each other. But Dan, you mentioned some other American players. We're still in the transfer window. Do you think Leeds should bring in any other US-based players?
We were talking earlier on saying there's not really many American strikers who are performing. I don't know if you know any American strikers, but I know there's a fair few, but I don't know if any of them are really prem quality.
That's really our issue right now with the national team, at least, is our goalkeeper situation and our number nine situation is really goalkeeper. Up in the air.
Goalkeeper, yeah, so, right there, you got Horvath, Stefan.
Yeah, it's an interesting position for us as fans that have been, you know, for a few decades where we had Tim Howard, Casey Keller. We've had goalkeepers that have been at the height of the English Premier League for a long time. And now we have Zach Stefan, Ethan Horvath, and Matt Turner, who are all playing as the second on the depth chart. So Zach Stefan is going to be loaned from Man City. He won't get much playing time. Yeah, Ethan Horvath has just been loaned to Luton.
But I think that stems from, I think the manager has said, the manager has told the keepers that if they want to contend for that number one spot in the World Cup, then they're going to have to be playing it week in, week out. And I think that's why you'll find that all three of your main keepers have made moves this window. I think the manager has said to them, you're going to have to be playing week in, week out if you want a chance in the World Cup.
Yeah, it's tough too, because if you ask a lot of US fans, Matt Turner is probably who we would want to see as the number one. But in the current situation, he's probably the one that will get the least amount of playing time going into the World Cup, because he'll be second at Arsenal.
He's a good keeper.
So. Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to ask you guys about Brendan Aaronson, because he's someone that has had a really incredible rise over the last few years. And he's played for Martian Salzburg before, more as an inside forward, but he was playing at the top of a diamond last season for Salzburg. So how do you think he'll set up in Martian's system?
He's done interviews in the past where he said his biggest inspiration is Phil Foden. And he says that's the player he tries to emulate when he plays. So that means he plays as an attacking midfielder, but he loves to get involved in the front line and chip in with a few goals and a few goal contributions. So I can see him playing as a winger, but then presuming we're playing as one up front, if you have the two wingers and then the one up front, I think he will be behind. I get my finger on the screen. He will be behind, but it will come up to get involved in a two up front situation.
I think he's going to be horrible to play against. I just think that he's just going to be so annoying. You know, like, I can imagine him just being like, just really, really irritating to play against. And this is what I like about him, because he just seems to get where water can almost.
Yeah.
In terms of how he's able to, you know, and I'm just really looking forward to seeing. And one thing I like, and one thing that's been frustrating as a Leeds fan, when with Bamford being out of the side, we don't seem to have had a lot of players with composure in front of goal. Mm-hmm. I know as a US soccer fan watching the national team, if you've not got a striker, that's bad news. But it's okay if you've got three or four other players that can weigh in with goals from midfield, from the wings. It's not such a bad thing. What we had last season was really one or two players that were able to bring goals. Rafinha, who's obviously leaving. Jack Harrison, who really, really seems to be totally underrated. He's had some time in the MLS. He got one goal less than Rafinha, one assist less than Rafinha. And he's somebody that really, really, I really rate him.
Yeah, he gets a lot of it from
but
the fans.
But he's such a good player.
Yeah.
And so much energy. But again, like I say, he's been at the MLS. There's a lot of going on with regards to franchising in the MLS at the minute, with regards to City, regards to Red Bull, connections with Europe. So they're really, really building. This is one of the reasons why I think the American game is coming on.
Even Gareth Bale going to the MLS is massive for you. But
we were shy in front of goal, and this was a real problem. And I think Aronson, he looks like he's got an eye for goal. Looks like he knows where the back of the net is. Which, working alongside the top end of that midfield, I think the fans are going to love him. Like you said, I think he's going to be a fan.
I think Weston McKennie would be a good signing for Leeds as well, because we do seem to be in for all of the American players, like Daryl Dyke. We were in for in January, and he went West Brom. But I think Weston McKennie would be a good shout if we are signing more American players.
Yeah, I think from our side, we'd be happy to have more players building chemistry going into that World Cup as well. Yeah, but I think what you'll find...
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think what you'll find with Tyler Adams and Brendan Aaronson are they are two players that play at the level. Like, they always need a next level to get to be pointing towards. And they always reach over and above that level that they're playing to. So again, like, Brendan Aaronson kind of saved our qualification in CONCACAF because we didn't really have a number nine that was scoring. Christian Pulisic and Gio Reyna both got injured in the first few games, and Brendan Aaronson was really the only one that was producing goals for the team as a midfielder and as a wide player. So I think, you guys as fans have two really... Yeah. And then imagine, right, if Leeds are playing a more pressing style, Jesse Marsh doesn't really care about possession. He's really all about building opportunities by winning the ball back in dangerous attacking areas. If you turn the ball over, and as a defender or as a ball carrier, you have to deal with Brendan Aaronson. And then if you beat him, the next one up is Tyler Adams. Those are two bulldog of players that are really difficult to get past, and they're going to bother you all game. They both have engines that can go 90 minutes, 120 minutes. Yeah, so I guess just overall then, what is the feeling going into the next season? Give us a little bit of a preview and an expectation for this next season. What can fans expect from Marsh's squad?
You can expect that we will stay one of the more entertaining mid-table teams. Obviously, sacking Bielsa, it won't be as on the edge of your seat football, but I think we will be one of the more entertaining teams, regarding that we're still staying as a pressing team. But definitely, I would be buzzing with 12th to 9th place would probably make me happy.
I would love to see us at the bottom end of those European spots. We're definitely in a building phase, so you know we're not going to be winning the league. Let's be
a couple of Leicester.
Nah, I don't think we're going to be winning the league. It goes catastrophically wrong with some of the sides. But I mean, one of the main issues we had last year was depth of squad. We've brought six players in, and most of these, pretty much all of these players, look like their first team acquisitions. So we've got a depth of squad that we didn't have before, which is something we've not had in the Premiership. And I mean, Christensen on our right hand side, who's also a Jesse Marsh signing, played under before. He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And you know, I've had somebody say to me, it'll be like, give me your boots, give me your bike, and give me the ball. You know, seriously, this guy, I've seen him lifting weights. He just looks like a monster.
He's a Viking.
So you talk about tenacity, and also you've got that as well in the side. It's just going to provide a little bit of change for this. I'm really optimistic. I know there are some people that are not. Leeds always seem to make it difficult for themselves somewhere down the line. But I'm hopeful optimistic that we will be finishing seventh, eighth this season.
You said that last season, though, when we ended up losing a bet to some Forest fans where we had to wear a Forest shirt.
I think you surprised a lot of people, right, in that first season under Bielsa, and then it kind of went away last season. But maybe that helps to kind of consolidate your position in the Premier League and kind of give yourselves a leg up at just like consolidating that mid-table position.
Yeah, definitely that's the case, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess one thing I'd ask you, I mean, what do you know about the 49ers franchise? Because obviously from our point of view, I think the 49ers now have they don't have a major stake in Leeds United, but they don't have a controlling stake, but they're getting on for that. And I think there are agreements that are in place for them to eventually take over the whole of the club. What can we expect to see in terms of cash injection and sporting ethos from that point of view?
Yeah, I mean, if people don't know, actually, Jesse Marsh is not the first kind of American connection to Leeds, right? As you have this 49ers minority ownership that came in. I think from the 49ers organization perspective, and I am not the best person to talk about American football, but they are a team and an organization that looks to invest heavily in their squad. They just built I guess 10 years ago, a brand new stadium in San Francisco, Levi's Stadium, that is immaculate. It's something that a lot of people want to get to from the American football standpoint. So I think you have a business from the US that is looking to invest heavily in a team that will eventually get their stake back, right? It's something for the future for them. And the more that they can have players like Calvin Phillips and Rafinha that are developing and being sold for a lot of money, the more that they can keep the team in the top half, maybe even push for those European positions, it's all in their best interest to do so, because they're going to look at it as an investment of their cash, but they're not going to be afraid to do that. And from what I've seen with their American football team, they are wanting to be one of the premier franchises in the US. So I think whether, you know, you keep your owner there with the minority stake of the 49ers franchise, or the 49ers franchise takes over as a majority stakeholder in Leeds, you have an organization that has a foundation. They have a history in being able to invest and really wanting to see their team succeed and being really organized about that. So there's people like Todd Bowley, right? The new owner at Chelsea. He is kind of seen as one of the best owners in the US for the Dodgers franchise, the baseball franchise. I think you can expect something very similar to that with the 49ers, although they have, you know, a committee of people that are looking over that organization, looking over that investment. Yeah. So I can't really say specifically like on who that person would be to come in and handle kind of the business side of things. But from an administration piece and an investment piece of what they're doing in San Francisco, I think you have a lot of things to look forward to in the future.
Brilliant.
Yeah. One question I've got is the scarves behind you. There's no Leeds scarf there. You got a QPR one, an Arsenal one. Where's the Leeds scarf?
Yeah, I have to get there. Usually when I travel somewhere, I'll get a scarf from wherever that is, but maybe we can do some type of kit swap. I'll send you a US or maybe a New York Red Bull scarf, and you guys can send over a Leeds memorabilia. But or I'll just get up to you guys before I'm in London. I'm in England for the time being, so I'll have to come up and see Ellen Road.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Anything else?
Good chatting.
Yeah, it's
cool. Yeah, likewise. All right, tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, and well, we're Leeds Lobby, so we're on YouTube. We're also on Twitter if you want to follow us on Twitter. But the Leeds Lobby, by all means, you know, subscribe and share the content. Let us know what you think. And we've been building the channel now for just 3 or 4 weeks, but we're growing quite quickly. We've got over 2,000 subscribers, and we're looking to obviously push on and obviously increase the content.
Yeah,
awesome. All right, thanks guys so much for joining. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on.